You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Job and chapter 38. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. So deal with us. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. And our God, we're going to thank you again and again. So help us understand that we might be able to withstand. And our God will thank you again. In Christ's name, amen. And in looking at our country, remember, we're founded on the great understanding of liberty. That's the key word, and that's the New Testament word. It's the Old Testament word, liberty. Liberty, freedom. And as we looked at that, and a little bit, to try to understand the sequence of the nations, towers and cities, and they have no relationship to God. And then Israel has a unique relationship to God. All of that outworking itself because, Revelation 13, 8, etc., the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. And God had a wonderful plan, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the way it's going to be fulfilled. God the Son is going to become God the man, and he's going to die on the cross to make it all possible. Now, with that in mind, Job, when God created Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, created the heavens and the earth, and God did that. And Job 38 is addressing Job with all these questions that he can't answer. And he isn't supposed to be able to answer them. He's supposed to understand he's trusting God, who has all this information and knows everything and has a wonderful plan. And Job has to trust that plan and trust his friends. He can't trust all the people that are trying to encourage and sympathize with him. He needs to look to God and understand God is God. And that's what you start with. That's what the pilgrims came. The Declaration of Independence. All of that is a seeking God. That's what it's about. Now, having said that, so here's the questions for Job. And remember the context. Chapter 38, in verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? We just mentioned that. Declare if thou hast understanding. Hast thou laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, who has stretched the line upon it? In other words, what do you know about anything of creation? Zero. Where were you? Where were you look, I was sliding over just to pick it up. Verse 17. Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? What do you know about anything, for sure? You know little bits, pieces. That's all you have. All you have. And you can't put anything together. God can. So therefore, Job, what are you going to do? Why am I suffering? Why is this happening? Why? You're going to have to trust me. Because you don't know the answers to much of anything. So therefore, you're going to have to trust me to get through this. So therefore, verse 5, who has laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations layer thereof fastened, or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, all the angels. It was a marvelous thing what God did in his creation, through into space, as it were. There was no space. God threw creation out, the earth and all the stars and galaxies and everything. That was an awesome thing, an awesome thing. So God, it says, listen, you have to understand who is the author and who is the creator and who is able to put things together. God has a rhyme and reason for everything, a plan. That's why the Lamb of God is slain before the foundation of the earth. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, there's a foundation and you need to build on it. You need to stand on it. You need to understand it. And that's what the pilgrims, that's what the declaration is an attempt to a wonderful, we hold these truths, et cetera, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to pursue God, to know and grow now. Having said that, Luke chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6, our Lord encouraging people to think and to make sure that they are traveling the right road for the right reasons. Luke chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. In other words, we're going to give God credit. He knows what we don't know. He's able to do what we can't do. He understands what we'll never understand. And so therefore, we're going to trust him. So, in the light of that, we're going to come to God. Therefore, verse 48, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that's trusting God like that, verse 48, he is like a man which built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, that house, and could not shake it, why? For it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49, both he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now either you're going to build on solid ground or you're not. Now God is the builder. God is the creator. If I'm going to leave the architect out, I'm going to leave the builder out, I'm going to leave the one who owns all the material out, and I'm going to do what I do with whatever I can find and do it, I'm not going to have very solid ground. I'm not going to get very far, and my house isn't going to be very strong. The founding fathers built upon a solid foundation. They sought to do it, and they did it, listing it in the Declaration and Constitution, etc. So, the Declaration of Independence, to become dependent. Now, so we got to build upon a foundation. And that's what they did. And what's the foundation? Liberty, 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 liberty to build. Freedom to build. Freedom to have a building. Freedom to withstand the storms. Freedom to succeed. Freedom to start down the corridor of time and finish in God's wonderful grace. Now, having said that, in that God's grace, over to Romans and chapter 5. What you're looking at and we're reading, they would know all this. Thomas Jefferson, they could read the same things you're reading now. They're looking at them. That's what they're doing in some form. Now, so here's Romans chapter 5, and we need to build in God's grace and God's freedom, liberty. So chapter 5, verse 15. But not as the offense in the light of the context. In other words, in Adam's sin, we all died. Therefore, verse 15, and but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, many be dead, that's Adam, and we all died, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So how much more abounding is God's grace? Adam, we just get it. We're born physically, and we already have it. We didn't do a lot. There isn't a big deal. We just done got it. But when you get saved, God does so in an abundant way, wonderful way, I should say. Now, so chapter 6. And if I can, in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have received the one before the foundation of the world who decided to be the Savior, who decided to create us and make us on planet Earth and to save us. So when we get born physically, here we are, if make believe you're in this kind, back then in those days, or in our days actually, and here we are. So we come to know the Lord as our Savior, and we do that. And God does a wonderful thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes possible this wonderful saving relationship to God. He does this. Now, remember what we just read? That therefore, go over to 1 Corinthians 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, excuse me, I said 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 11. And 1 Corinthians 3, 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is Jesus Christ. So when I received him, remember we just said, build upon a firm foundation so that when the storms come, you can survive. If you leave God out, you're on no foundation. And all life's experiences are going to be there, but you have no foundation to keep you safe, solid. Therefore, you receive the Lord as my Savior. You receive the Lord as your Savior, and He is the foundation on which you're going to build. He's the foundation. Where am I going to get this foundation? When I received him as my Savior, God put me on that foundation. And that's what I want to understand. God puts me on that foundation. Where is the foundation? It's in my relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm on that foundation. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and that foundation is wonderful, and it's very personal. Ephesians, if you would, are in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, going directly in the light of the context, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and the household of God. And verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So everything, Peter, James, John, they all believed. That's what they did. They all believed. They trusted God. They all trusted the same Lord as their Savior. That's what we do. And we're on the same foundation. Same, here's the bricks going up, as you know, bricks, and there's the foundation. And the bricks go up, and the first bricks are down there, apostles and prophets, and there we are up in them. bricks up there, going up the wall. Same bricks, same everything, same building. And I keep reading. Verse 21, in whom, Christ Jesus, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So we're growing, we're building, we're God's wonderful house, temple. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God, we're you say, well, that's wonderful, but you include you. You that are resting on the Lord, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're resting on him, you're resting on the right foundation, and as you rest and work and build on that foundation, you're safe. The house is going to stand. You're going to stand at whatever comes because you're trusting God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, a little exercise. Over to Deuteronomy. And in chapter 30, and you'd recall, Israel is going to cross the Jordan, and the book of Deuteronomy is given to bring Exodus and Leviticus and Genesis and everything in order. And put the pieces together so they got a good understanding when they cross the Jordan of what God is looking for and what their obligations are to look to God. Now, you can't go across the Jordan and have the wonderful benefits that God has for you in the land as the nation of Israel, but you've got to cross the Jordan and you've got to go and make sure you're trusting God. So therefore, in verse 14, the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now remember, that is all quoted in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. It quotes the same. Tell you what, to be looking to God. God has given you his word. You got it right in your hand. You got it right in front of you. You got it in your ears. I got it. They had it. Here's Moses bringing it. Verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Now you have to make a choice. Are we going to build on solid ground or are we going to build on no solid ground? How's the house going to be? You're his house. How are you going to survive? Are you going to survive? God created us, saved or not. We're all on his creation. So you're either going to be comfortable and saved, resting on a good foundation, or a bad foundation. Now, so therefore, I've set before you good and evil, sliding down. If I can, verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now, verse 19. I call heaven and earth. There they are, giving you instructions. They need to make a choice of which way they're going to go. I call heaven and earth to record, bear record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I'm going to tell you, you got it there. You got to take a choice. You're either going to trust me and go forward, or you're not going to trust me and go forward without me. Which way are you going to do it? You're going to go forward one way or the other. Are you either going to build and rest on me, or you're not, said God. So therefore, and he says, I want you to know a choice you have to make. I'm telling you what to do. Choose life. God, what do you want me to do with my life? Choose me. Choose. Choose me. Nobody guess? Who said that? The one who's going to judge you. He said, choose me. And therefore he said, blessing and cursing, Therefore, verse 19, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. It's a choice, but God tells you what to do with the choice. I want you not to build on sand. I want you to build on solid ground. That's what I want. I tell you to do it, but and God tells you what? You got to be saved. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him, the gift of grace, if you don't do that, you won't be saved. I tell you what to do. I'm telling you. He said, what more do you want? I got to figure out how to get through life and how to get through everything and who knows what's right. And I just had the thing I didn't. Someone gave me from the newspaper of some lady that's pushing for some things and she hates religion and has all the things against religion. Against religion everywhere in the government and everything. It can't be any religion. She hates religion. And has a little block in the bottom of the paper to sign up to think like she does. She's going to vote. She hates religion. She's going to vote. Vote. I hate religion. Okay, she can do that. That's her privilege. It's the wrong choice. The wrong thing. God said you made the wrong choice. Wrong choice. You got to make the right one. So therefore, God, verse 20, why are you going to make the right one? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. I told thee, God said, I want you to choose life. Choose. And when you do, and you're going to find out I love you. You're going to find out I'm going to honor my word. I'm going to go and take care of you, and I'm going to give you long life, long life. We say it in the New Testament, eternal life. We say it in the New Testament, John 17:3, I am your life. God, what is eternal life? It's to know God and to trust him. That's eternal life. I want you to choose. But why was our founding fathers? Why would they did what they did? Because all of this in some form is in their minds in some ways, and it's moving them, moving them. That's why you got the declaration. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew in chapter 16, if I can, and you would remember, just to catch it as we move, chapter 16, and going directly, if I can, remember the Lord, verse 13, remember the Lord is testing his disciples to see how they're doing. Are they building on him, their relationship to him, for 3 1/3 years? Or are they building on something else? Judas was there for the same 3 1/3 years. But he never did one thing. He never gained anything. He sat through church for 10 years and got nothing. Now got nowhere. What did he know? Nothing. No. But the 11 are going to get it. And therefore, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then, of course, he goes through and they mention all the different names the people say, Jeremiah, etc. And they slide down, verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I want to know personally, Peter, James, and John, who do you say I am? See, got to personal. Got to know. I told you. Think of Job. Job, it's very personal. You got to trust God. Job, you got to just plain old trust him. So now, chapter 16 and in verse 15, who do you say that I am? And of course, they don't know. And so God helps them. Verse 18, 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Son, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God helped them to know the answer. He didn't know the answer. who he was. But time is going over to John chapter 6. And as they're going down the corridor of time and learning, they are getting thoroughly convinced. Even to the point that when he's going to be crucified, they figured they're going to be crucified in prison too. They figured, they put their whole ball, they put the whole ball of wax of their whole life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason they took a breath was because of him. And now if he's going to disappear, so are we. Now, chapter 6, John, verse 67. Then said Jesus, remember what you read in verse 66. From that time, he told me, you got to trust me without, but we don't want to trust you like that. Pick it up, you'll catch it. If you can, verse 660. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? In other words, God's telling them, like he told Job, the difference between Job and his friends was, Job hung in there. Job didn't leave the classroom. Job stayed in the classroom to get the lesson. The other people left. They didn't miss it. Here they are, and God has just been talking to them all, feeding them, giving them everything, healing them. And then he tells them that you've got to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ultimately, that's what he's saying. And they said, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, yeah, we've got to have such a relationship to him. But he's our life. Oh, we don't like that. And therefore, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Therefore, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, he said now to them, after just watching all the people walk out, wilt thou also go away? Then Simon Peter answered in him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I didn't need any help, said Peter. I didn't need any help in this one. I got it. Peter said, We understand. I don't need God the Father to clue me in what to say. I got what to say. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to John and chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, it may pick up, please, in the light of all everything context, verse 29. 8 and 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if thou continue, abide in my word, there, if you abide in my word, then are ye my disciples, indeed, truly, for real. You're really my disciples, if you're going to abide. You're going to rest in my word. I told you something, you believe it, just like in Deuteronomy 30. I want you to believe what I'm telling you, and choose me, choose life. Now, verse 32. In the light, if you're going to be, I'm a believer, believing what God's word, then, if you're going to keep believing God's word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Liberty, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You're not going to be free. How am I going to be free? I'm going to learn. Pay attention to the words. God tells me the words. What's all the Bible about? Proclaim liberty, a wonderful, wonderful recovery of the relationship that you need to have to Almighty God to enjoy forever. You've got to have that relationship. Therefore, in the pride of that, in the light of that, the truth will make you free, wonderfully free. And of course, they had a problem with that. Verse 31. Then answered him, "Were Adam Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. But how sayest thou, you shall be made free?" They didn't feel they were slaves. Most people don't feel they're slaves, right? They don't feel they're slaves. Do you feel you're a slave? How's that? Do you feel you're a slave? No. You have an old nature. That's you. And your old nature, apart from God, no flesh can please God. Romans 8, etc. You can't. So every word, thought, and deed, your reactions and actions and reactions, all of them are there. Now, and they're free. Are you free from ever breaking down and arguing? Are you free from ever doing something wrong? Are you free from ever saying anything wrong? Are you free? You're in bondage. We aren't free. I'm free. No, you are not free. I'm not free. That's our old nature. It happens. You don't want to do it. If God didn't take care of it, we'd never get there. If God didn't die for that, forgiveness, where would you ever make it? That's our old nature. And we aren't going to, it's there. We're in bondage to it. We can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. If I knew the right things to say, and I could get you all upset if I just knew the right things to say to you right now, and I get you all mad. Why? Because that's your old nature. That's what you got, an old nature. And it doesn't go away. You need to be free. But we aren't in bondage to anybody. Wrong. You are in bondage. And you need to be free. The truth will set you free. Verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I start building upon that foundation, that relationship, and that relationship is to work itself out in a most wonderful way. And in doing so, I'm going to start having success. I'm going to start having some benefits personally in my life. And therefore, David, example, Psalm number 11. Psalm number 11. And what do we know about David? And David is there, he's under pressure, he's in fear of his death, etc. He's in the court of Saul. Saul's upset with him all the time to kill him. So therefore, Psalm 11, verse 1. David, help us. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In other words, David, you better run. Saul's going to kill you. Saul's going to get you. You better run. Okay. verse 2. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, and they may privily shoot at the upright in the heart. They're going to shoot me right in the heart with an arrow. Wow. What are you going to do, David? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. So David, what are you going to do? I'm looking to God. You want me, verse 1, to run. There's no place to run. And there's no place to hide. No place to run and no place to hide. What we're up against, there's no place to run and there's no place to hide. David, what are you going to do? I'm going to stand fast and look to God. I'm on that foundation. And if I'm building on that foundation, Luke chapter 6, if I'm building on that foundation, what do I know? That foundation is going to what? It's going to hold. It's going to hold. The storm. Saul's trying to kill me. It's going to hold. I don't have to worry about Saul. I'm not running anywhere. I'm not hiding. I'm looking to God. I'm looking to his throne on the solid foundation. I'm going to trust God, foundation. That's what I'm going to do. Over now in the light of that, Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 28, And in Isaiah chapter 28, looking, God's wonderful grace. God are you going to help us? I got to put my, got to be building on a solid foundation. I got to do that. And got to be trusting God. Even though a lot of storms are going to come, but just keep staying on the foundation. It isn't going to move. God isn't going to move. What's the foundation? The Lord Jesus Christ is your foundation. Now, you can say, all the things could come. What are they going to do? What are you going to do to change God right now? Anyone. The UN, the bad guys, the newspaper people, anyone they want. Which one? What do you want to do against God? Tell me what you want to do against him. What do you want to do? What can you do? See? Oh, I can write, I can say, I can sing. You can do all those things. You can't do anything against God. You aren't going to touch God, period. So sit tight. They can shake your fist. That's what Armageddon's about, the fools. It takes the tribulation to wake them, to get them that far, to shake their fist at God. And that's why Psalm 2, God looks down in the battle of Armageddon at the end here, and he laughs. He said, what a sight. We got our rockets and our everything, spaceships. Where got you going to get you? God said, that's a funny one. What a funny one that is. You see? Wow. Now God, so what are you going to do? So, Isaiah 28. God, picking up please, in verse 6. Remember they're going to make a treaty. Israel's going to make a treaty with the wrong people all the time, ultimately to the Antichrist. I won't even take time. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, proven stone, a precious cornerstone. Remember we just read that in Ephesians, that he's the cornerstone. A precious cornerstone, a stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The one that is believing shall not make haste. It's causative. Cause. It is not cause to make haste. To move quickly is the word haste. To move rapidly, speed. To find safety, to run, to find safety. Distance, to make distance, to get away. You don't have to do that. The end of verse 16, he that believeth shall not run, have to be panic. There's no panic. David, there's no panic. Israel, there's no panic. You're going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to build on the solid rock, a solid foundation, and it just isn't going to have a problem with the weather, the storms, or the threats, or anyone. The wolf can come and say, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down, and they can do it. But the wolf's going to run out of breath. That's what I'm going to tell you. And the wolf's going to quit. Why? Because he can't blow the house down. The system can't get us. The devil's going to come. He's the roaring lion, to swallow. But he can't swallow. Why? Because you're on a solid rock. You belong on the rock. You're on the foundation. You're locked on. And everything tries to get you off, but you're stuck. You see, but if I'm in space, you can grab me and pull me. But when I'm locked on, you can do what you want to me. I'm locked on. You got it? It's not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. Wow. Now, having said that, so that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So here's July 4th. And July 4th ushers in the great liberty. Our anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And so, in the process, you'll remember of all that, and outside, out in Philadelphia and that, there was a bell that had been delivered before from England, I think they made it. I think it weighed 2,600 pounds or something. It was a big bell, 2,600 pounds, a bell, big bell. And in the process, the bell was there, and they had the signing of the Declaration of Independence on the July 4th, and then they celebrated, and the bell rang. They rang the bell, wonderful bell. Now, what's the bell? What about the bell? Okay, why do you have a bell? Why do you want a bell? Over to Leviticus, you know. Leviticus. And chapter 50. No. Leviticus 25. You could have gone to 50, but 25. Leviticus 25. What do we know? Do you know they had a Sabbath day, and they took a Sabbath day? And then they had a Sabbath year. A Sabbath year was you didn't do anything for a whole year. In other words, you didn't touch your garden. You didn't really have any problem with food. You didn't raise anything. Everything in the fifth year would be enough for the whole sixth year. I don't read any place they did that. Do you think if they ever done that, what it would be like to have a whole year where you didn't have to do anything? Everything was automatic. Everything was there. Wow. Wow. Blueberries all the time. What can I tell you? All, they didn't have to do anything. But I don't remember them doing that. And then, to boot, they had the wonderful, wonderful sixth year, every seventh year, I should say. And then they had the 50th year. And you remember it, chapter 25. If I can, picking up in verse 8. Thou shalt number the seven Sabbaths of years, 49, and unto thee seven times seven, 49 years, and the space of the seventh, and the space of the seventh Sabbath of seers shall be unto thee 49 years. Verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month, in the day of atonement. You shall make make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Wow, what are you going to do? You're going to go and sound the trumpet. The word Jubilee means a joy, the cry, the loudness, a cry of joy. Trumpet. The trumpet's going to cry out loud. The big trumpet, loud, joy, joy. Joy, the year, trumpet of Jubilee, the trumpet of joy. Joy about what? Verse 10. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty. That's what it's about. Remember the Liberty Bell? What's on the Liberty Bell? This verse is on the Liberty Bell. That's what it is. You want to know? If you go look at the Liberty Bell, there's the verse. Right. What's it about? The founding of our country. What's it about? Liberty. What were they doing? Liberty. Say, no, it must have been another. No, it wasn't. Verse 10. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee, a joy unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and return every one man unto his family. In other words, I started out, I gave everyone what I wanted to have. But because of debt, because of business, because of lots of things, people that they lost, they had to rent their land. They couldn't make enough money, so they had to go and work for somebody else. And everything that was original, everyone had what they needed. But life doesn't allow you to have and proceed. People get richer and poorer and everything. But every 50th year, everything goes back to the original. Everything is where God wanted it in the first place. Every 50th year. And you know what? I don't remember them ever having a 50th year. You know, if I thought they had a whole 7 years, do you know what it would have been for 7 years? I mean, have a whole year off, nothing, didn't have to work for seven, do anything for 7 years, and God would take care of you. What would it be like in the 50th year when everything goes back? No matter how much you owe anybody, no matter what relationships you have, they all have to go back. Everything has to go back to where it's supposed to be. Now, what's interesting, they never did that. In the millennium, Ezekiel 46, in Leviticus, what do we know? They're going to observe the Jubilee. And for 20 times in 1,000 years, they will have 20 years where they observe the Jubilee. For 20 years. 20 years in 1,000. Every 70 years, they're going to observe. That's what we're going to do. Practice it. Practice what? God has a wonderful plan. He gave you a wonderful plan. You were born physically on planet Earth to enjoy that plan. You're either going to trust God and let it happen, or you're not. But God, that's God's plan. Now, we can lose out by never getting saved. You lose out. No question about it. No question you lose. And you don't want to lose. But, so we can look to God, and God help us to have that, exercise that benefit plan for God's wonderful thing. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose that benefit. And God's going to give it. In other words, I may never have all that God had in mind because I chose not to. I don't have it. We're saved, back to 1 Corinthians 3, we're saved if you're saved by fire and you have nothing, but you're saved. But wouldn't it have been good? Yeah, to build. That's what he tells us, 1 Corinthians 3, on the foundation, build. Build. So you have a wonderful, wonderful future. And you're going to have one anyway if you're saved. No. But proclaim liberty is the whole point. Liberty, 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 liberty. The joy, the trumpet of joy. Blow the trumpet of joy. It's liberty. Wonderful, wonderful liberty. That's what John Adams said, our president, back then. Celebrate. Cannon, salute, fireworks, shout. Do it. It's joy. They knew it. It was a wonderful thing. Exciting. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over, if you would please, in the light of that, here's July 4th in 1826. They rang the bell. Here's the different bell ringings, but here's one of them. When they rang the bell, it was the 50th anniversary of this, of the Declaration, 1826, July 4th, they rang the bell. And again, they rang the bell on July 8th, 1885, at the death of the Chief Justice John Marshall. And it cracked from the rim, right going up right way, from the rim up to the top, it cracked. And there were other cracks when they checked it. So the bell cracked. The bell was never used again. The bell stopped. No more bell. No more bell. No more joy. There it is with the Leviticus 25 and written on it, proclaim liberty throughout all the land. It's a joy, joy. And there it is there. You can go read it. It's there. But there's no ringing. It's awful quiet. It's awful quiet. So now, God, here we are. And we're looking. And we got a cracked bell. We got a declaration. But I didn't bring it out this time. Here, little Constitution, Declaration of Independence. Little book. Little book. The little book. We got thousands and zillions of pages of laws and everything about anything. But we don't use the little book. That's the founding. It's our foundation. It's all about having the benefits of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's all about having the benefits. But we don't. We don't read. So the little book is there. But it's, we don't know it. It's awful quiet. The bell is quiet. The declaration is quiet. You don't hear it. You don't. Sometimes you do when people are trying to understand things, but you don't hear it. The average person, I bet they never read the Declaration. I bet they don't even know it is. I bet if you had one of those interview programs and you ask people, do you know where the sun rises? Does the sun rise in the north or the south? And you know, they could say that. And say, well, boy, I don't know. I never thought about the sun rising anywhere. Well, where did the sun come from? I don't know. You see? Wonderful. Wonderful exercise. Now, having said that, So here's the bells, quiet. The book is quiet. We have out in New York Harbor out there, we have the Statue of Liberty, wonderful symbol of those seeking immigration to know God, to the wonderful benefits of the Republic of these United States, not from coming across the border, but that was what they used to be. But it's awful quiet. It just stands there, doesn't say anything. No one pays much attention to it. We just walk right by it. That's all. We don't see it. So the bell is quiet and the book is quiet, Daniel, the document, the Liberty Bell, the Statue of Liberty is quiet, quiet, nothing there. And now what do we have? We have the communion. And what do we do with communion? Well, we have communion. How much noise is made with communion? It's awful quiet, isn't it? But it's awful loud. What are we doing? We take of the element, my body. No noise, nothing. Do this in remembrance of me. And what are you doing? You're making a public testimony to the person of Jesus Christ who saved you. He is the perfect substitute. He took my place on Calvary's cross. And that's his body, that's me and his body that goes to that cross. This cup, no noise, just a little cup, and no noise, no big, lots of stuff. No, just quiet. And we take of that little cup. What are we reminding of? The Lord Jesus Christ who's taking me to the cross. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God is going to die, and he shed his blood. The little cup is to remind anyone and me, myself, he shed his blood for me. That's what he did. There's no noise at all. Awful quiet, but awful loud. The Statue of Liberty is there. The Declaration of Independence is there. Wow. The bell is there. Is anyone listening? Is anyone caring? Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it at all. Therefore, over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, if I may, picking up in thought. 1 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 1. What do we know? Here's this, what are we doing? In verse 18. 1 and 18, 1 Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Silly. Look it over if I can, in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks, Gentiles, foolishness. Yeah, it's a silly thing you just did. No. Here's the bell, awful quiet. Here's the statue, awful quiet. But its message, the message of the bell, liberty. The message of the statue, freedom. Freedom to come to this, to come and find freedom and liberty. That isn't why they're crossing the border, to find liberty. They aren't trying to find God. I don't think so. Every time I see the little bit of the news, I see them. It looks like all young men coming across, mostly. Lots of men. So that's not good. Now, so in the light of that, chapter 2, here's chapter 1. Now, Paul, having said all these wonderful things, and let me pick up in chapter 1, verse 29. that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if you're going to get excited, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to get excited? Get up excited about God. Get excited about the foundation. That's what to do. A wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And that's what we heard. Remember what we did the other day in Matthew then? Don't be concerned about casting out demons and having all of that for the disciples. Be awesomely wondered, caught up in wonder, that your names are what? Written in heaven. That you're there. Be wonderfully excited about that. Not what you're doing down here, that you're there. Wow. So, do this in remembrance of me. Chapter 2. Our 1 Corinthians, Paul in Corinth, as you know, great cosmopolitan city. Chapter 2, verse 2. Paul said, he's an intellect, he's one smart fellow, but all the smartness becomes as dung and nothing in the light of God. So we don't trust our anything. So neither did Paul. Chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what he told the Corinthians. I want to tell you about a crucified Lord who died on the cross for me. He took my place on Calvary's cross. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. In a most wonderful way. So here's the signers are all gone. The signers, where are all those signers? Boy, they paid a price. But we have what is signed. We have what is signed. We have that document. You're able to have the Constitution, the Declaration. You're able to read it, even though it may not be relevant very much anymore. It's wonderful. And you have it, Declaration of Independence. And you're able to know it. So the signers are gone. We still have the Declaration. The bell is cracked, but we still have the bell. We still have God's word. Why the bell was even done? To proclaim liberty. So we have it. We got the book. We don't have the signers. People don't even read the document. Don't care about the Declaration. God does. God does. God's going to honor it. They honored God. They died. That's what men and women paid a price to give us this opportunity. Therefore, we're going to look to God. And when you read in 1 Corinthians 11, you don't have to turn there. When you come to the end, as we'll do it, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes. When you take the cup and the bread and the cup, you're showing the Lord's death. Showing, announcing, loud. It's awful quiet. But it's very loud. You're showing the Lord's death until he comes. Wow. Even so, come. So we'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word, thy work, thy grace. So deal with us. Help us in every way. Help us have understanding, God. Oh, we can't look outside the window and the news and everything and get too excited about all these truths. But God, we certainly can look to your word, to your presence, to encourage and help us to enjoy that which we have, no matter how dark it is, no matter how dark it's getting. It doesn't matter, God. We're to walk in the light as thou art in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. And our God, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.